This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like filling out basketball brackets. Too many choices, too much noise, and no one wants a busted budget. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break down real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Make smarter financial plays today. No luck required. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
What is... Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
It is Dukes and Bell. We got plenty more to dive into along the way today. Our buddy Jason Longshore is going to stop by to talk about Atlanta United. Of course, the analyst for Atlanta United. Not a great performance. Not the result you wanted last weekend. We'll talk about what happened as we continue to move forward. But in studio right now, we're having some fun. Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review. They're going on tour starting tomorrow, as a matter of fact. And
right.
Nick Nespojani is in studio with us. And ironically, guys, he brought his guitar. So, Mike, we're going to allow him to play whatever he wants, and we got more questions for him, but if you're just joining us, we were talking about how big this thing has become for them, and they're going on a nationwide tour. How many cities do you know? Is it, do we know, city-wise?
It's like 60 dates or something.
60 dates?
60,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't know. I got people that always tell me this kind
for
of
sure.
thing.
For sure. You're
just like, where do I have to be tomorrow?
Yeah, let me just get there. But it's a big deal, and they're going to be in Atlanta, as we mentioned, April 26th. Up at the Ameris Bank Amphitheater up in Alpharetta. So tickets still available. But
and we love the music. You know, we love this. We play so much. Return. And I don't know if you know this. Orrin Romain is one of your biggest fans. This guy, an encyclopedia-like knowledge of 70s music. And I think, you were probably one of the originals. Real quick, Orrin. You're probably one of the original people I know that was devoted to Yacht Rock.
No, I got in on the, it was like 09. So it was a couple years after they started. But started going every week to 10 High. Got in good with Nick. He's an awesome dude. And then, it's kind of cool, too, because, like, I've seen sort of the ascent of them from 10 High to Park Taverns and stuff to the Variety Playhouses now. Mm. You guys sold out Chastain, what, how many years in a row?
Enough
years in a row, yeah. Sold out Chastain a ton of times. So it's just awesome seeing them from sort of the beginnings of where they are tonight. Just the ascension, just like even doing their own original music now, which is awesome.
Yeah. So, yeah. I love Chastain, too. I love that venue. I don't know how you guys feel. I love it. But you guys have released two original albums. Talk about that, because now we're talking about your own stuff, your songwriting.
It's fun for us. It keeps us interested. It's a challenge. Going back to what you guys were saying earlier, when you're playing all these hits that everybody knows every word to, and you're like, and now I'm going to play something that you've never heard before.
right.
It kind of doesn't matter how good it is, but I like to think that our songs are pretty good. So so we still do them, and people seem to react really well to them.
What's the albums? What's the name?
The first album was called Hot Dads in Tight Jeans.
I like it.
Which I'm pretty proud of that album name.
Yeah.
And that one's fun. And then the album we just released at the end of last year is called Escape Artist. And it's a double album. We put it out on vinyl, and it's got, you know, all of the yacht rock tropes in it are kind of like re-envisioned, you know. We kind of did our own thing with them. So it's pretty fun.
Now, you're a sports fan? Because you got your Hawks gear on, man. And in the break, we were just talking, and you were like, Hawks. Big win last night. We're going to talk more about it. Dyson Daniels, we were just saying, man, this dude has been unbelievable this year.
I love the pickup. I was not familiar with how much he brought to the table when they traded DeJounte for him. But, like, man, That dude can ball. And he is a winning basketball player. Like, he creates wins like he did right. last night. Like, he's not just filling the stat sheet, you know?
We had him on the show. Like, yeah, and a total, like, I know we use the phrase, they use the phrase a lot, Carl, ethos with the Hawks. But he really did brought a work ethic and a commitment to defense they hadn't had. And he's a great dude, man. Good guy.
Yeah, I'd like to see where they go from there. I wasn't as crazy about the moves at the trade deadline, especially seeing DeAndre Hunter balling out with the Cavs. But then they picked up the salary back in the Bogey trade, which I didn't get that one at all. I don't know. I love the Hawks.
I think we got the best of Bogey. Anybody been paying attention to what he's doing with the Clips? Zero.
Oh, I'm not saying that Bogey. I think he has declined, but to take all the salary that we dumped off the DeAndre Hunter trade, which is why we made it, right?
Sure.
He's a good player.
Yes,
right. Create some cap space.
That one I didn't get.
Yeah, look, we're gonna have a lot of money to spend. We're in here now, Nick. We've transitioned.
We've got a lot of money to basketball.
Oh, I know you will. I saw you come in with your Hawks, but we'll have a lot of money to spend. As Mike's been saying, where are we going with this?
How we're gonna do? What are we gonna do?
Right.
And by the way, if somebody wants Dyson Daniels, you can't have him.
No.
Definitely not.
No. He's shown his value, man. I'm with you on this.
Him and JJ are untouchable.
Right. I agree. Yeah. Totally agree. Now, you want to go elsewhere and do some other things, but the guys we got last night really helped us. Caris LeVert ends up winning the game. We'll talk more about it, but this is your time.
Okay.
You can play
whatever you want, Nick.
Whatever you want.
Wide open.
Just want to give our listeners an opportunity to hear just a little bit, and again, we invite you to go see these guys, man. It's a great show.
I'll give you a little taste of a song that we wrote. There's a guy that we've made good friends with. His name is Elliot Lurie, and he's the singer and songwriter from Looking Glass.
Okay.
The band that did Brandy, You're a Fine Girl, one of the biggest yacht rock hits.
Right.
And we were on a gig with him in Jamaica, and he said, hey, guys, I got the beginning of this song. I think we should finish this song together and do it. And so we did, and it became the first single on our new album, Escape Artists.
Very cool. This one
is called Tropical Illusion. I'll just play a little bit of
okay.
it.
Okay.
See how you feel.
Let it rip.
Nowhere I would rather be, right here, right now with you. This tropical illusion, this picture perfect view. And when you hear those waves come tumbling in, you're floating like a seabird in the wind, and time stands still. Oh, what a thrill. Every day I dream of you, every night my dream comes true. Every day I dream of you, every night my dream comes true. No time that I would ever trade, no memories for sale. This tropical illusion, this love that never fails. And when you feel that breeze salty and cool, you're floating in nostalgia in the pool, and time stands still. Oh, what a thrill. Every day I dream of you, every night my dream comes true. Every day I dream of you, every night my dream comes true.
Very nice.
It takes you to a place, doesn't it?
Well, here's what's funny. You said you were in Jamaica.
Yacht rock is a vibe.
Yeah, it is, but you said you guys were in Jamaica and started. I could see why.
Right.
I could see why. I love it. Now, obviously, you know, that is a song that you guys helped write and finished. But as we said, they do all, if you're wondering, and like if you are like us and you listen to this stuff, and most people do, I mean, whether you're cooking, you're playing golf. It's weird how I'm on the golf course and I hear people playing yacht rock. I'm like, really? It's everywhere.
Oh, yeah.
And if you listen to this stuff, they do all of the hits, guys. And that's the thing. I mean, I have people now hit me up. Do they play? Yes. They literally, he just said a set list of what, 60 songs potentially to choose from when you guys are you know, doing the show?
Yeah, and that's just this summer, you know. And it's, you know, multiple songs by all the big yacht rock artists like Christopher Cross, Michael McDonald, Steely Dan, Kenny Loggins, Hall & Oates. You know, we gotta get multiple hits on those guys.
Right. Through this process, how many of those guys have you met through this process?
Of the guys I just mentioned, half.
Okay.
I met Christopher. He was super nice. Met Michael McDonald, Kenny Loggins. Met John. Played with John Oates.
Really?
No kidding.
Yeah. John Oates. We were playing on a music cruise, and John Oates was playing, and we were like, "Hey, will you come sit in with us?"
Wow.
And he was like, "Okay, sure, I'll give it a shot." And he came. We didn't rehearse, and he came up there, and we did "She's Gone."
Really?
And I got to sing Daryl Hall's part.
Oh, wow.
With John Oates, and it was epic. And he was actually just on a podcast about it a couple weeks ago, and was talking about us, because he's generally not into the term yacht rock. And they asked him about it, and he was like, "Yacht rock, the term, I don't like it, but the guys yacht rock, I'm into those guys." I was flattered.
But the thing is, it's so funny. They kind of touch on this a little bit in the documentary, if you hadn't seen it on HBO or HBO Max, as Nick Nespagiani is with us, guys from Yacht Rock, is number one, you're going to get more downloads. People are going to, it brings the music back into the forefront. So you'd think that makes you a bit loot. And the other thing that coincided with a lot of these guys, Carl, they got lost in time, because as their careers like Christopher Cross hit, that's when MTV broke. And some of those guys weren't really great looking guys. It just is what it is.
Totally.
And they died because the video killed the radio star.
Completely. I thought that was a good point that the documentary made that I hadn't even really thought about before. But going back to what you said,
it became a visual.
Yeah. One thing you notice about Donald Fagen, he told him to F off, but then he let him use like 7 Steely Dan songs.
right.
In the movie, he was like, "Wait, but you got a check?" He's like, "All right."
Yeah, that's true. BMI, ASCAP, you get that check. Yeah. You get that right.
Yeah, cut the check. But no, it's absolutely true, man. That's really cool. That's a cool story to have a chance to experience that.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing?
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Knicks Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Knicks, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knicks Menswear, your friend in style.
And Christopher Cross, by the way, it's crazy. We were talking about this. Orne and I were talking about this. It's Dukes and Bell Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, guys. As we have Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review in studio. And again, they're going on tour tomorrow. They'll be here in Atlanta. Tickets on sale. But we were talking about, you know, how Christopher Cross, like how he had record of the year, song of the year, all this stuff, right? And then fell off. Like, right. What happened?
The first person to do what he did since then was Billie Eilish.
Yes.
Like he was like the Billie Eilish of his era and then just went nowhere.
Nowhere. It's crazy. So he was like, you know, look, and Orne and I were talking about, you know, that he had albums after that first original album and people were like, he did? No, right. Like no, yes. I even realized right. It. So it's crazy to think that. And then what Mike's talking about is bringing those songs back to life and bringing those artists and keeping them alive, really, to be honest. I mean, like right. Even though most of these guys are still here, but bringing their art back to life, should I say.
Yacht Rock is unique in that it's the only genre that was invented like 40 years after the music was made, right? Mm-hmm, like right. Grunge, everybody knew it was grunge when it was happening. That's right. What we called it. But Yacht Rock is a completely different kind of phenomenon. And I think that's what's allowed for it to have this resurgence because it wasn't a thing.
Right.
Back in the day.
And I know some of these songs just bring back, for me, Carl, they bring back memories of road trips with my old man. You know, it's like, I was just down on the beach in Florida, and when our server was Brandy. So, of course, I said, so how often do you get, and I sang it, and she said, oh, no, I don't mind it. But, I mean, there's just so much, it's crossed over to pop culture references. So much of that stuff is just part of, like, the fabric of a lot of people's childhoods, too.
It's the sound of a wood-paneled station wagon.
Ford LTD, you're right.
That's what it is.
And that's a great description. Right. All right, we appreciate you stopping by. This has been awesome. I know you guys are going to crush the tour and have a lot of fun. Again, we invite you guys to check them out. And they're going to be, you can see all the right. ticket places. I mean, they're going to be all over the country. If you can't see them here, you know, it's always cool to go to another city and go to a show and see something. And so if you want to do that, but they're going to be in Kansas City, Milwaukee, they're all Cincinnati, they're all over the place.
New York at the Pier at a really cool venue rooftop. Mm-hmm. I mean, unbelievable spot. So, by the way, we let him play us out.
Let's do it.
Yeah, you pick it, man. Nick Respigiani, man. Don't miss Yacht Rock. You go to Yacht Rock and just Google the tour days in case you're not going to make it up to the show in Alpharetta.
Well, there's a port on a western bay, and it served 100 ships a day. Lonely sailors pass the time away. They talk about their homes. And there's a girl in this harbor town, and she works laying whiskey down. They say, Brandy, fetch another round. She serves him whiskey and wine. Sailors say, Brandy, you're a fine girl. What a good wife you would be. Well, your eyes could steal a sailor from the sea.
All right. Great job, man.
Great job, Nick. Thank you so much for coming. We appreciate you. Good luck on the tour, man, and you know you're always welcome.
Cheers. Thanks for having me, guys.
Absolutely, guys. Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review. We'll take a quick break. We're coming back. It's Dukes and Bell. So Mike's a little bit upset at our Braves. A little bit. Now, Drake Baldwin has said he's confident if the Braves need him to begin the season. Now, he's one of the top prospects in the organization, and we're talking about the catching position. With Andrew DeShawn Murphy, Drake Baldwin is going to get some more playing time. We know that. Look, he's confident. They have high hopes for him. The Braves going to need another backstop to pair with Chadwick Trump to open the season. So, and we don't know, again, you know, how long Murphy's going to be out. 4 or 5 weeks, potentially. Cracked rib, Mike. But you said this to me, and you're a little bit upset because you're like, Why didn't we keep Darno?
Yeah, and I know that Grant McCauley joined us yesterday and said $8 million for backup. Well, I mean, $8 million is chicken feed for somebody as big as the Braves. Remember, the Liberty spun off the Braves. They're their own thing. And I just think, you know, the leadership and the intangibles of having a veteran. You know, I mean, as we say, you know, when you get, it reminds me of that 2015 Hawks team. Who's taking the last shot?
That's right.
Everybody points at everybody else. Like, who's the guy? Who's the dude, you know, like when things are going south, he goes, bring it in here. Let's go. You know, I mean, like, I'm not saying like the stuff we used to joke around about Freddie, like, you don't put the sunglasses in front of the A. You don't cover up the A on the hat. But I mean, there's something to be said for having a veteran, a leader in there. And especially when now you consider you're going to have two young catchers handling this pitching staff without any experience at the major league level. So that's a concern. Now we're going to be stuck with one of these retreads that we have at camp and keeping some guy around on the roster. I don't know. Look, at some point we knew that Drake Baldwin was going to get his shot. And it's funny because today I got an adjustment from Dr. Roddy, my chiropractor down in the South Side. And it's funny, we said our pleasantries, Carl, and he goes, what were you and Carl talking about last week? You were killing somebody. I go, Sean Murphy. He goes, yeah. I got a kick out of it, man. You guys are. No, I just said he's not good. He doesn't hit. We all know he's a tremendous, you know, if you're talking about like defensive slash handling the pitchers, but, you know, not having Darno to pick up the space or the gap right now, Carl, is to me a concern.
Baldwin's 23 years old. Look, he was good at AAA last season. Hit basically 300, 298, 891 OPS over 72 games. His defense and his game management, it's good. We don't know how good he can be, but the fact of the matter is, this is why you wanted a vet, you know, in this situation, if this was going to happen. Now, you say, well, the vet was Sean Murphy. Okay, well, what if Sean Murphy got hurt? Then that means you have a lot of confidence in Drake Baldwin to join again Chadwick Trump to put the pair together and handle the behind the plate duties. I don't know how this is going to look, how it's going to shake out, but I do know this, man. In talking to a bunch of guys in that clubhouse, Travis Darno was loved and respected, and I don't think it was a surprise for a lot of guys when the Braves decided to move on. But they know what they're missing, Mike, and so Travis Darno, we talked about it, a quiet leader inside that clubhouse. He signed with the Angels, for those who don't know or don't remember, but. At the end of the day now, we get a chance to see some of these young guys, and I don't know what this is going to look like. But you were, earlier today, you were like, I don't get it. I don't understand. And I was like, what? What's going on? You know,
I just think there's something to be said for having that kind of a dude in your clubhouse. And now, especially when you're, because, yes, you would never foresee him getting hurt. I mean, I still don't understand how you get hurt. Anyway, it is what it is. Murphy, I'm not a fan. And now you begin, and you brought up a great point yesterday. So, okay, he won't be able to go for 4 to 6 weeks, and then you can't swing hard because of your ribs.
Nope.
And then what? And then is his swing screwed up? I mean, 2 years ago, he was batting a respectable number, 250. You know, surrounded by great talent and one of the greatest, you know, years for a team to hit in Major League Baseball. And since then, you know, last year, Carl, oh, I get it. Arcia doesn't hit that well. Other guys are banged up. He couldn't step up in that gap. He was terrible himself last year.
Yeah, I just feel like, you know, everybody feels like you come off the injury and all of a sudden you're back to normal. We know this. It takes time. And the thing about spring training is a lot of it is, most of it is for the pitchers, okay? But there's also timing things that happen when you're getting your ABs, your at-bats, that happen with hitters. And, Mike, even though you may not come out of spring training red hot, all of that practice, which is what we're talking about, and those swings get you in a timing situation. And then, okay, I feel pretty good, and hopefully as the season moves along, you do get hot. But if I get hurt, Mike, it pauses that process, and now I got to get back to, okay, and that's why guys get sent down, and we got to figure out when they're going to be brought back up. All of that stuff plays out, and I'm not going to tell you that Sean Murphy, who I believe just a few weeks ago, maybe 2 weeks or last week when we were talking about this, I said he's going to hit this year. He can't be as bad as he was last year. And now you have to overcome this, and on top of that, get over whatever mental lapses that were going on with you last season to make sure that you're at least hitting. It's not about the defense, guys. We need his offense.
Right. And look, Chris Sale did a great job. You got to have a good veteran catcher to, you know, certainly handle the younger guys. Sale knows what he's doing. Ronaldo Lopez, I think, knows what he's doing. But yeah, you've got to help Schwellenbach development. You got to have all these young guys are going to be leaning into, whether it's Smith Shawver when he's out there, or Ian Anderson, Grant Holmes. So you want to have, a dude who gets it. I understand all that. So that's why I was, it's funny, it was the show within the show. I was like, I was doing a George Costanza's dad. Why don't we have? Why don't we bring back the Travis Darno? You know, so that's what I was talking about. Meanwhile, Mark Bowman from MLB says we reassigned Jose Devers Infielder, Braves are now at 48 players as they chop it down and keep on moving.
All right. If you missed our conversation earlier, Hawks win, and our last guest, who is the lead singer or for the Atlanta version of the Yacht Rock Review, he's a big Hawks fan. He came in here, and we don't have the video on, but he had his Hawks stuff on.
Right.
Hawks stole a game last night from the Grizzlies. I mean, guys, with 5 minutes and 25 seconds left, Grizzlies are up 126-116. Hawks should have won this game. Like, the Grizzlies just blew it, and the Hawks took advantage of it. And you had a series of plays that happened. Caris LeVert hits Dyson Daniels, cuts the lead to 8. Then all of a sudden, Daniels assists LeVert, three-pointer, cuts the lead. And then all of a sudden, you go back and forth, bucket, bucket, bucket. And then all of a sudden, boom, you get a defensive stop. And now, Mike, you got a chance to win the game. And, like, you just think about Memphis had a chance up 10 with 5 minutes to play. It's run clock. Take what you get.
Right.
And they just, they forced the issue, and Atlanta took advantage of it. So that was a big win last night, man, simply because we need to try to get out of this 8-9 situation, Mike.
Yeah. And a couple of guys, we got the dudes, like the negative Nellies, the glass half empty. They will always love to text in. Yeah, you beat the Grizzlies without Ja Morant. Other guys are hurt. Look, we're banged up, too. We've been dealing with injuries the last 4 years now. So, I mean, it's just you do what you're supposed to do. You stole it. That's a hell of a win. Made SportsCenter. Made a lot of highlights last night. It was all over NBA TV. And it's great because Baines, basically, you don't have to do anything.
No.
He's just sitting there and he just got, oops. That's the beauty of Dyson Daniels. That's why, I mean, hopefully he gets the Defensive Player of the Year. Not sure you can do that if your team's not a lock in a playoff position or a play-in game. But who's had? Imagine how far from the weeds, how bad we'd be without having Dyson Daniels this year.
16-4 run the Hawks went on to finish out the game. So, you talk about, all right, doing something at the end of games, and they win 132-130. But that's why we were talking about this win. Now, again, they're currently in the eighth spot in the East. But you got to keep fighting and finding a way. And it also keeps the Grizzlies from inching closer to Denver, who is currently sitting in the number three seed in the West. So it was a game that both teams needed. And a lot of people think, the Grizzlies with Ja and the guys that they have can make a run at the championship. I don't know if they're championship caliber, Mike, especially in the West, man. I don't know if they're championship caliber. But that was a big win last night. 404-726-0929. You guys can hit us up. Let us know what you think. Hawks back in action tonight. As a matter of fact, as soon as Mike and I get done, Hawks at Milwaukee, 7 o'clock pregame, tips at 7:30. And then on Thursday, we mentioned this, guys, we're going to be down at State Farm Arena. It's 92.9 the game night, and we're inviting you to come on down if you don't already have tickets. We, as in Mike and I, and the entire staff at 92.9 the game and all your favorite personalities will be down at State Farm Arena as the Hawks host the Pacers. Come on out and see us, man. We're going to be doing all the in-game stuff and having a lot of fun. So tickets are still available at Hawks.com. We'll see you on Thursday at 92.9 the game night as the Hawks take on the Pacers.
Giannis played last night, right? Giannis was probable last night. He went. So just talking about some of those injuries. Talked about Kyrie Irving, for guys who missed it. It goes from basically bad to worse for Dallas Maverick fans. At the end of the show, we found out a story reached our eyeballs that they were going to raise ticket prices for some Mavericks season ticket holders 8% after you move on from Luka Doncic. And then last night, Kyrie goes out, and basically it was like an exodus. Everyone just left the arena at once in Dallas.
Yeah. Look, it's become a thing. If you didn't think it was, and if you thought it was just a few, idiots with signs out front, this is a wave of reaction. Mike, it might cost Nico his job, and it has nothing to do with wins and losses. Like, just the reaction from the fan base alone.
I mean, like, if you're going to trade a guy that is truly considered one of the top 5-3 players in the league, fat or not, pain in the butt about, I just think, I said to Carl earlier, I mean, there's sometimes as a team, you want to play Billy Badass and draw a line in the sand, you may never get back to the finals, You know how long look at us.
Takes forever.
I just think if you're the Mavericks, I just feel that there's some situations where you just got to eat it. Pardon the pun.
Yeah.
With him, you just got to sit there and say, okay, Luca.
Not a good. Yeah,
Luca, by the way, did you hear what Luca said yesterday, by the way?
No, what'd he say?
Another reason I love playing in Los Angeles, thanks to training staff of Lakers, they sew pockets into my basketball shorts.
For?
For munchkins. Oh, you get low blood sugar in court. You need to have some Dunkin' Donuts. And if you want protein, I put chicken nuggets on the other side. Chicken, what? That's not, why is this funny? Why is rimshot for this? I have chicken nuggets in one side of the pocket, munchkins in the other.
Who eats chicken nuggets during a game?
48 minutes going back. Let me tell you, very difficult.
It's hard. It's hard.
Big boned like I am. You need energy.
Oh, is that what it is? It's big bone?
Bone density.
Ah, okay.
Baby fat. Someday I shed my baby fat. Some people, baby fat stays on for a while.
Forever.
But again, but these are facts. That is the way. This is funny to you. Go listen to Buzz Skaggs.
By the way, last night I think he won the MVP. He had 51. I think he's winning the MVP already. But I'm talking about SGA and the Oklahoma City Thunder, Mike. They beat the Rockets and Shai Gilchrist-Alexander. 18 of 30 shooting, 5 of 9 from three-point land. He went 10 of 10 from the free throw line. And you look up and he had 51 last night. And we just saw him here. Right. And you know, they beat us like they've been beating everybody else, but they're really good, man. And I just I think he kind of put that stamp last night. He's like, look, I'm not clowning around. Well, there's less than, you know, 20-some-odd games left. I'm about to take this thing home. I think he's going to be the MVP.
It's funny. I've seen some stuff on social media today, actually the last 72 hours, and there's a lot of blogs out there going, SGA getting those MVP-type calls.
Yes, he is.
He's getting a lot of calls. He's getting to the stripe a lot more than everybody else. It's so funny. Even LeBron fans are saying SGA is getting preferential treatment. Wow.
Yeah, that's crazy, right? All right, coming up, man, we didn't get a chance to do 4th and 1. We got to get you caught up on what's going on around the NFL. Justin Jefferson talking about this quarterback situation in Minnesota. Also, we will hear from Sean McVay as well. Stay there. We'll get to 4th and 1 next. It is Dukes and Bell, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Coming up, we're going to talk about what Greg Sankey is saying about a 9-game season in the SEC.
Come on, let's get on with it while we're young.
While we're young. Pretty interesting stuff. But again, he needs something to happen. And we'll get into that coming up here in less than 20 minutes. Hey, you can follow us, by the way, if you want. Follow Mike at Mike Bell ATL. I'm going to put him up. See Dukes, the radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Appreciate all the love. People hitting us up talking about having Nick in studio, and again, appreciate him stopping by. Nick Nespozjani, who is the lead singer for Atlanta's own Yacht Rock Review last hour, and just fun stuff, man. Just, you know, a cool vibe, and they have a lot of fun. And again, we wish them a lot of luck on their tour. With that said, Mike, we got to talk about what's going on around the NFL. Let's get to 4th and 1. All right, lots of news happening today. And the first thing is, you know, this Sam Darnold thing. They are not going to franchise tag him. Mm. It's official. He will not be tagged. That means he is going to be a free agent. They have until 4 o'clock to do it. They're not doing it. They have already announced that the Vikings will officially not be tagging Sam Darnold. The tag number, by the way, for quarterbacks is $40 million. You say that's a bargain. Well, okay, are you willing to pay him $40 million? And where does Sam Darnold go now? How many teams are really going to be interested? Mike, I think there might be a suppressed market, meaning you still have Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson and all these guys out there. Whether you think they're any good or not, that's not the point. You can play those guys against Darnold and say, well, you know, take what we've got or we can go elsewhere.
I mean, the good news is for him, I would imagine somewhere in the world, a team needs a quarterback that was on the Sean McVay coaching tree because, you know, that's the offense that seems to fit his skill set based on what they were doing in Minnesota, which revitalized his career. So if you're going to bring him in, you know, you got to have a coach. I mean, that would probably be the shortest path to getting him right back where he needs to be. And, you know, we discussed it at length at the time in January when it went down. He just crapped the bed. He had big moments. I mean, we saw the pressure. I mean, it wasn't like the Lions. He hadn't seen pressure before. But, I mean, they just ramped it up. And he made, like, rookie mistakes.
He did.
In the two biggest games of the year. Mentioned it earlier. The Lions with the chance to win the division. Be the number one seed in the NFC. And they blew it. And then by virtue of that loss, Carl got to go on the road to L.A. And he was horrible in that Rams loss. I mean, brutal.
They got after him. There's no doubt. Justin Jefferson, by the way, has been asked all week about, what do you think? Do you want Darnold back? And listen to his response about the quarterback position.
I'm not sure who the quarterback is going to be. And just like I said last year, you know, it truly doesn't matter personally to me. You know, it doesn't matter who's going to throw me that ball. I'm going to make the most of my opportunities. I'm going to try to make him look the best quarterback in the whole NFL. Just, you know, making the contested catches, making those catches that look difficult be easy. So just having that confidence in me and just, you know, creating that connection with the quarterback, no matter who the quarterback is going to be. That's the main part. And just, you know, just having that confidence in each other to you know, when it's all said and done and it's getting crunch time, they know who to come to.
See, Kyle Pitts, that's a player. 1,533 yards. It doesn't matter who the quarterback is. When they throw me the ball, I'm going to make a play. Justin,
you know, also, I just work here.
Justin Jefferson, Mike, said this about when Kirk Cousins left, because everybody's like, what are you going to do now? He said this last year. Doesn't matter. Sam Darnold comes in, who's supposed to be a bust, and this guy goes for 1533. Here we are talking about all the quarterbacks, and you guys, you know who you are, keep making excuses for Kyle Pitts. This is what a real wide receiver and a real playmaker in this league does.
Some would say a real unicorn. Okay? Because that's what Kyle Pitts was called. His words, you know, I mean, the team's words and the perception of the draft, a unicorn. Real quick, a guy, one of my favorite Falcons of all time, Roddy White.
Okay.
Roddy White, 1,200 receiving yards, 83 receptions, 6 touchdowns with 3 bums.
Bums.
Throwing the ball. It was Jesse, who was the guy from Oregon? Who was the
Redmond?
Joey Harrington.
Joey Harrington. I said Jesse, it's Joey. Joey Harrington, Chris Redmond, and Byron Leftwich.
Bum.
And he got 1,200 yards that year when the season was still 16 games because Roddy is a dog.
He's a dog.
Roddy was a wrestler in high school. You know, we've had him on the show. Roddy's just that dude. That's what we need Pitts to be. You know, instead of this stupid soft serve crap, the Falcons, whoever's asked about him, whether it's the coach or the general manager, we need Kyle to be the best Kyle he can be. Like, what is this, the Army? Be all you can be.
I mean, you know, also, I just work here.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, look, but that's, you know, we just need Kyle to be, yes, yeah, like be like the fourth round, the fourth overall pick we thought he was when we drafted him. And guys, as you said it, Carl, no sooner the lips, word leaves our lips, guys are hitting us up on the text line. Bad quarterback play. They don't know how to use him.
Immediately.
Yeah.
Immediately.
I mean, it's like, I get it. Look, I will say it once today. I'll only use the phrase once. There are jock sniffers out there. There are guys out there. And I don't get it. Maybe when I was 12, I had that mindset about sports. And then I realized, you know, there is personal accountability. And there's guys who put the work in. It's what separates the Jerry Rices of the world, you know, from the guys that are first-round picks who never make it past their fifth year. But, I mean, some of these guys just never want to look at Kyle Pitts and say, maybe he's the issue. Yes, there are mitigating circumstances. He has had bums thrown it to him. I'm not sure necessarily Zach Robinson's offense fits him to a T, but when you have the opportunity, you can't be playing butterfingers with a football.
Make plays, man. Make plays. That's what I take from Justin Jefferson. He makes plays. And the idea that he has so much confidence in his ability that he's like, I don't care who the quarterback is. We laugh at that because we know there are better quarterbacks. There are some quarterbacks who are better than others. And yes, you're going to get a better ball thrown to you and better placement. And yes, we get that. But at the end of the day, if it's thrown your way, go make a play. That's what I love about Drake London, Mike. Drake is like this. Drake is like, you're going to throw it high, I'm going to go get it. You throw it low, I'm going to go get it. I don't care where it is. Now you're making a play. It doesn't matter. Meanwhile, while that's going on with the Vikings, the Sean McVay stuff is interesting about Matthew Stafford because now, again, Sam Darnold is the guy as far as top of the board. He's 27, guys. Top of the board when you talk about age and what he's already done, a former first pick. Okay, somebody's going to roll the dice and take a chance. But here's Sean McVay talking about the Stafford situation because now we know he's going back to L.A.
There was always an understanding that he wouldn't play under the number that he was due this coming year. That was something that we always knew was coming down. And when he felt good with the way the season ended, and obviously we were all ecstatic about him wanting to continue to play and play at a high level. Now it's just figuring out the semantics of, all right, there's no way to put an actual value on what he means, but what does it look like to be able to fit it for the landscape of our football team, where we're at, knowing how many years you want to play and what does that look like for the short and for the long term. And I think fortunately we were able to come to a compromise and a conclusion that everybody feels really good about. And
there you go. I mean, there's different types of coach speak. He's always a positive guy and putting a spin on it. But I like that dude. I mean, Marisone, Sean McVay. By the way, does he ever have a hair out of place?
Never.
Dude, got the smoke show wife. He's always got a good football team, and sometimes when they start off slow, they make the corrections, they fix it midstream, they get going. Last year, I thought, was one of his better coaching jobs.
I agree.
You know, I mean, and they draft well, and him and Les Snead. I mean, that's, can we, Terry and Rock, can you get there this year? Can you please become that? That's what you want to be. Because even if you're not winning the Super Bowl, you're always, it's like when I had Dolphin tickets in Florida, every year was a 10-win season. You knew what you're getting.
Yeah, I love McVay, too. And the whole thing there is, once they realize, okay, you want 2 more years, we can get to
you
the number.
You got to make it, figure it out.
Because they're close. Listen, the Rams were right there in that game last year against the Eagles. The defense is young and talented. You're close. Now, what about Cooper Kupp? Here's what he said. This is courtesy of the Dan Patrick Show, talking about finding a trade partner for Cooper Kupp.
honestly, you know, he's been so instrumental to our group for the 8 years. You know, his rookie year coincides with my first year. Dan, this guy means a whole lot to me. He's been instrumental in setting the culture, establishing a legacy that is already cemented as one of the all-time Rams. I think the hard part is you have to be able to make decisions where you say, all right, where are we going? What does it look like for the collective? And how are you putting this puzzle together year in? How are you putting this puzzle together year in and year out? And so we're in the midst of finding a trade partner for him. And if we're not able to do that, then we'll see what the next steps are. But that's kind of the process that we're in, working with himself and Ryan Tolner to find a trade partner.
Okay. We'll see where that goes. Mike, I want you to address Eddie because I don't want to get my blood pressure up.
Okay. Now that my blood is flowing better through my heart, I can get fired up.
And you do feel better.
Thank you.
Eddie just said to me, trying to compare Kyle Pitts to Justin Jefferson is absolutely the craziest thing I've heard. In order to catch the ball, he has to be thrown the ball. And when he was thrown the ball, he caught it.
No,
blew a game for
us. What are you talking about? I mean, my God, even when he catches a touchdown, he left it at the pylon. If the NFL was too, if the NFL wasn't too cheap, Fox, to have a pylon cam, we'd probably lose that game to the Bucs on a touchback.
What was the game, Mike, where it hit him? Where it hit him?
That was the Giants game.
Come on, it hit him right here.
Eddie, for those who do not follow, Justin Jefferson, a 22nd overall pick. Kyle Pitts, the
fourth
player taken. And again, the Michael Penix could have been Michael Penix Jr.'s first touchdown. It turned into Michael Penix Jr.'s first interception.
Hit him right here.
Go watch that video and explain to me what the hell Kyle Pitts is doing.
And okay? Eddie, the comparison is this. It's the dog in Jefferson that we don't witness in Pitts.
Correct.
It's not the athleticism or the ability. Justin Jefferson just grabbed himself and said, I don't care who's throwing the ball. I'm going to make plays.
He's got a killer instinct.
That's it. That's the comparison. We're not talking about production, even though he had 1,500 yards. He's saying, I did it with Kirk Cousins, and then y'all didn't think I was going to do it with Sam Darnold. And look what happened. That's him. Right. That is his dog in him. That's the comparison.
Right. Hey, man, speaking of dog and a guy that certainly showed the Giants what they were missing, you talked about it earlier. Saquon Barkley gets that big contract extension from the Eagles. And, you know, I was thinking, you know, he was going to get some loot. I didn't know they would go that heavy. But they do have other issues on that Eagles team to try to keep. We know they're going to lose maybe three guys off that defense. But one thing for certain, Howie Roseman was going to reward Saquon Barkley for the unselfish play and unbelievable effort last year.
$41.2 million contract extension. It's big, man. This is a two-year deal. The cool thing is it makes him the highest paid and the first $20 million per year running back. We got there.
Right.
A few years ago.
Who's loving this? Is Bijan.
Well, you no doubt about it. First of all, a few years ago, guys, we weren't sure if running backs were going to be getting $10 million. Like, the cap number was 10. Henry was the only guy that had really exceeded that, and everybody else was like, okay, what about me? And when it was time to pay him with the Giants, they didn't want to do it. The point is, running backs are important. If you have a special guy like this,
right.
I agree with this, Mike. You take care of him. He's not washed. He's got a lot left in the tank.
We were giving it to Fontenot in the sense that I know there's lots of things you could have done, and we did have some people at the time, and you and I even debated it, knowing that Tyler Allgeier was a 1,000-yard rusher, but this guy is the more dynamic receiver and the more dynamic player, and it's not a knock on Tyler. This guy's just Bijan specialist. It's arguably the top. He's the number three running back in the league right now. But when we drafted him and then the Lions moved up to get Jahmyr Gibbs, there are a lot of folks. I mean, just because some guys are saying the running back is dead, you got to have it. And the key is, just like anything else, you just got to worry about the injury. But you can say that for any position.
Any position. And Gibbs is pretty damn good, too, by the way, for the Lions. He's pretty good. So, yeah, I think you're seeing this around the league with various teams. And a lot of these teams that are going to have young quarterbacks, they're going to get back to this, man. They're going to get back to, you know, we got to have a run game. Mm-hmm. We can't put this on the shoulders of a rookie or a second-year guy who's still learning, Mike, where you want him to throw the ball 45 times a game. You're not going to win.
Hey, one last nugget for you football-wise. I tweeted out earlier today. I saw another interview from Shedeur Sanders because everybody talks about the cockiness of this or that. But there was a thread when he was going talking to Chris Sims and Mike Mayock on Pro Football Talk up at the Combine and basically talking about the things he needs to work on,
sure,
get better, how Tom Brady and being a thinking man's quarterback and using your brain to beat the defenses. And I said, how can you not like that? And the guy who posted said, yeah, quote, air quotes, arrogant. No, he's not arrogant, obviously. You know, I said on Twitter, some NFL execs and media types, we said this yesterday, they just freaking hate Deion. And maybe some other media types hate the way college football is going. So this guy becomes the poster child of it. But real quick, these same guys that are leaking this stuff to the media, these are the same jacklegs who said Mitchell Trubisky was a top 10 pick, right? or Zach Wilson
yeah.
was going to be a top goal because he's an athlete. He can run. He can throw. It's just sometimes whether it's thinly veiled racism or agendas. But I mean, to me, I don't know what Shedeur Sanders is going to be, but you can't tell me you know he's going to fail, just like you couldn't tell me you knew Mitchell Trubisky was going to be successful. But just it seems like the agendas are creeping into this conversation.
The only criticism I have, just from a quarterback play position, and this is not coming from me, this is guys that play the position, holds the ball too long.
Got to come out.
Holds the ball too long. You know how many times we've said that about pretty much every top pick that comes out of college because they don't understand how fast the game is at the NFL level and how quickly they're going to have to get rid of it. We could say that about all the guys that have been picked over the last 10 years. Got to get rid of it quicker. Like, that was the thing about C.J. Stroud, right? Remember we talked about
the hits
his processing?
Got to go.
But we talked about his process. C.J. Stroud's processing is fine. He gets rid of it. That's my only criticism with Shedeur. Outside of that, Mike, he's got it. By the way, Jets release Davante Adams. They're going to save $29.9 million by releasing him. There was no guaranteed money on his deal left, so he can go wherever.
What if you're Josh Allen and you tell the Bills to go make some room? Okay, you got Johnny Wilson. You know, you do have a great tight end, but I mean that would be something. I mean, adding that kind of explosive playmaker to Josh Allen. That could be a weapon to put you over the top against the Chiefs. That's some defense.
I agree. We'll see where he ends up. I do not think he follows Aaron Rodgers, by the way. All right, we're coming back. We're going to talk some dogs. And what did Greg Sankey say about a 9-game schedule? We will tell you next.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
It's that time of year again. My schedule is packed with bracket-busting, three-point shooting, nonstop basketball action. I don't want to miss a second of it. That's why I go for a 5-hour energy shot. They're perfect for my days packed with back-to-back games or whenever my favorite team is playing late. 5-hour energy keeps me going during the broadcast and the next morning when I need to get myself up and to work. Visit 5hourenergy.com for great deals and to stock up before tip-off.
Hey, sports fans, it's Mason Crosby.
And Reese Crosby.
If you enjoy football, hootball,
be sure to check out Kicking It with the Crosbys. New episodes drop every Tuesday and Thursday.
Subscribe on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.